All right, let us begin with a story. I love starting my talks with a story. And this one is about an unusual experience I had a few years ago. I heard via the New York Times that this guy had set a new record for amount of time submerged in an ice bath. And I'm like, why would you do that to yourself? That makes absolutely no sense. I'm trained as a physician, so one thing that we learn is that if you are in water that's less than 50 degrees Fahrenheit for more than 20 minutes, you get hypothermia and you die. That's kind of what happened to most of the people who are on the Titanic, for example. So I'm like, this sounds like a really silly idea, but I must find out more. So I looked up the video, and this dude was submerged in ice for 74 minutes. And I'm like, what is this? That's not even possible. So I had to look into it. I looked at the video, and sure enough, he's in a big vat of ice. There's no way to fake that. And he's just smiling, doing his thing, you know, closing his eyes, doing his meditation. And afterwards, kind of waves at people. No trauma, no burns, nothing. He just submerged himself in an ice bath for 74 minutes, and he's as happy as he could be. So I'm thinking, all right, I got to look into this. How is this even possible? Because in my paradigm of physics and biology and neuroscience and medicine, that was not possible. So I found out this guy's name was Wim Hof, and he's this Dutch guy who'd been studying a particular kind of Tibetan Buddhism for a while called Tummo, and that's the inner fire. Tummo means inner fire. And he adapted some of those techniques, those breathing techniques, those energy circulation techniques, to basically radically modify his own physiology such that he could submerge himself in an ice bath for 74 minutes and not die. So I went online and I looked up the first reincarnated Tibetan Lama who was trained in Tummo, who was going to do a Tummo seminar, and boom, found one. Went to Sedona, Arizona, and I sat down with him for a weekend and did a whole bunch of weird exercises, moving energy around, breathing. I was like, okay, that was trippy. And then I found out that the talk was coming, and he came to California, came to San Francisco, and then Los Angeles. So I went to his little seminar and did his little breathing exercises. And I submerged myself in an ice bath for far longer than I thought I could. I was like, all right, what happened then? Paradigm shifted. I had a certain way of looking at the world. And by finding out about someone who'd done something differently, I realized, okay, maybe something else is possible. Maybe this notion of how the world works wasn't entirely complete. Maybe there's more to it than that. And then, of course, I had to go and experience it. So I did. And as a result, my world changed, and I was able to change my own physiology in a way that was different and novel and exciting and expanded my own capabilities as a human being. And that is what this seminar today is about. I'm about to introduce you to a bunch of techniques that are going to change your paradigm about what's possible, about how you run your own mind and function in the world. It's possible that right now you think that if there's stuff happening out there, therefore I have to feel a certain way. It's possible that right now you feel as if somebody said something to me in a certain way, then I have to react in a certain way and feel a certain way. It's possible right now that you think that if somebody fired you, you need to feel like shit for 2 weeks. If somebody dumped you, you need to feel crappy for 3 months to 3 years. Who knows? If a family member dies, you have to feel bad forever. So these are paradigms. Another word for them is stories. And these are negotiable. These are things that you can change. These are things that you can do differently. And I'm going to give you a set of techniques today that you are going to experience for yourself. I do not want you to take this on hearsay, on my authority, or anybody else's authority. I want you to experience them and then find out that you can shift the way you feel and move in the world. How does that sound? Does that sound like a useful set of techniques? Shout to me in the chat box or say, woohoo. Okay, good. Let me pull up some notes here. Okay, fantastic. So the idea is this. The universe was kind enough to drop the most sophisticated, complex machine in the entire cosmos into our head. So you've got this sitting in your cranium, but what you do not have is an instruction manual. This seems like a pretty cruel joke if you ask me. So how do you run this thing? And how do you run it in a way that actually keeps you healthy, happy, functional, and doing all the things that you want to do? And right now we're under these circumstances in which people are experiencing a lot of stress. Their lives have changed. You can't go out when you want to. Maybe somebody took your job away from you. You don't have as much income coming in. Maybe you're cooped up with a bunch of people that, you know, you like to a certain degree, but don't necessarily want to be around all day, every day. Or maybe you're cooped up with somebody who was your tormentor before and still is now. Maybe that tormentor is you, and you are stuck with that tormentor all day long without any escape. Okay? And by the way, if you have your sound unmuted, please mute it right now. That'll be great for the rest of the audience. So I studied physics, biology, and neuroscience at Harvard some time ago, got an MD from UC San Diego, and then got another dose of neuroscience and psychiatry and mental health in medical school. I've been practicing yoga for 20 years, been teaching persuasion for 20 years, which is literally about changing your mind and that of other people. And I've been a clinical hypnotherapist for about 20 years also, and studied Taoism and Buddhism for about 22 years. I've experienced psychedelics, Eastern contemplative practices, a little bit of mysticism here and there. I've been meditating daily since 2005, and I've gone to dozens of conferences, and I read about 160 nonfiction books a year about this kind of thing. So what I'm bringing you here today are the best practices. This is what moves the needle, and I'm here to give them to you so you can use them, so you can move the needle in your mind towards whatever you want. You want greater happiness, you want greater well-being, you want greater health, no matter what is happening out there. These are some techniques that really work, okay? And it turns out that a lot of well-being has to do with energy. So how you generate it and how you move it around. So, you know, I studied physics at Harvard, but I haven't met anyone who has been able to give me a satisfactory definition of what energy actually is. So what I encourage you to do is to experience it for yourself right now. So I want you to do is to stand up if you can, and this is gonna be a very experiential time. You're gonna stand up, you're gonna do stuff. And again, if you have your microphone unmuted, please mute it before you do anything, because we want to make sure that everybody gets the same experience. And we're going to do a lot of meditation also, which is going to require total silence. So please, if you have not muted your mic, please do so now. Okay, good. This is the handshaking drill. So I want you to just take your hands up like this and go like this. We're going to do this for about 30 seconds. Okay, so intense, hard as you can. Boom, just move it. Move it hard. There you go. Keep on going. Turns out that 30 seconds of this is a lot. Okay. Notice how there may be some heat generating in your body. Do it for 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and stop. And now feel your hands and your arms coming up all the way to your shoulders. And what do you feel? You feel a little bit of tingliness. Uh-huh. Say yes, you do. Uh-huh. That tingliness, that is energy. That is what it is. And close your eyes right now and just allow yourself to move that tingliness up your body. So move it from your hands up to your forearms, up to your arms, shoulders, down the front of your body, down the back of your body, down your butt, down your thighs, down all the way to the very tips of your toes. So your whole body is now awash in this tingliness. Okay, how long did that take? That took exactly a minute. 30 seconds of shaking, 30 seconds of imagining it move through your body. And is your state different now than it was before?
Yeah.
It is. Okay, good. So speaking of state, forgot to do this. Let's do this right now. What I want you to do is to give yourself a rating right now of how good you feel. If you give the rating from right before we did the exercise, that'd be even better. But how are you feeling right now, right? On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being woohoo, exotic, ecstatic. 1 being, down to the dumps, not feeling so great. Okay, give yourself a rating, 1 to 10, whatever that number is. Just write it down so you know what it is. Okay, let's see what we got here. All right, mute all, there you go. And there you go, okay, now it's mute all, fantastic. And if you actually wanna put your video on, that'd be great, because that way I get a little bit of interaction. I don't see anybody here, so I'm doing stuff, and I'm like, jumping around. If I can see you actually responding, that helps me a lot. Okay, great. So, fantastic. Thank you, video feed. All right. So how's that feel? Does that feel a little invigorating? Okay. So what you just did was you generated some energy in your body, and that makes a big difference. That just makes everything feel a lot better. Okay, good. So you give yourselves a rating of 1 to 10 on the happy scale. I also want you to give yourselves a rating on the misery scale. So how miserable are you feeling these days? Okay. So 10 being, oh my God, this is horrible. I just want to disappear and die. And 1 being, happy-go-lucky, so far so good, right? So 1 to 10 on the misery scale. And the reason why I want you to do both the misery scale and the happy scale is because for most of you, if not all of you, those two numbers are not going to add up to 10. Misery does not subtract from happy. Happy does not subtract from misery. These are two different pathways inside your mind and body, okay? So what we're going to do here is we're going to both attend to increasing the happy and also reducing the misery. And the good news is that the misery is mostly self-inflicted. So the less of that we do to ourselves, the less misery we're going to have in our lives. And the more room you have for joy, fun, happiness, and well-being. Okay, how's that sound? Sound good? Fantastic. All right. So I'm going to guide you through a series of exercises that are going to sound really unusual. I will give you instructions that you've probably never heard before. Visualizations, where you're going to breathe, all these things. So I invite you to play along and see how it works for you and see how that makes you feel. And then if it works, keep on doing it. So this will be recorded and you can also take notes now. And you can do these things later on. Consider this a personal training session for your mind. I'm going to train your brain. But as you all know, going to a personal training session does not necessarily make you fit, especially in just one session. The trainer teaches you how to do things, then you come back to the gym and you keep on doing them, and then you get thighs of steel and, you know, washboard abs or whatever you have. So what you want to do is you want to take these practices and use them and turn them into practices that you do regularly. So meditation works because you do it every day for a few minutes and then it builds. In the same way that doing curls builds your biceps, doing squats builds your thighs and your butt, in the same way we want you to do mental curls, mental squats. Okay, so let's see. We did the shaking thing. So what we're gonna do now is we're going to build up more energy. So much of well-being is about just having energy in general and moving it around in the right way. So it's about generation and control of energy in your body. And there's ways of making yourself feel great and generate energy. The most popular one, the best known one, is probably called exercise. You all know that when you move around, you jump around, you know, you dance, you have more energy, okay? And that is something that we're not gonna cover in this because you already know about that. You can go for a run, you can go for a walk, you can lift some weights and get some kettlebells, exercise bands, whatever it is. What I'm gonna teach you is a direct method of actually generating energy in your body. So boom, you suddenly feel massively invigorated and empowered. So I'm gonna see if I can do this here, right here, using, you can't see all of me, but you can see most of what's happening, and I will give you exact instructions for how to do this. Okay, good. So what I invite you to do is to bring your attention to the space underneath your belly button, which you cannot see from here, but well, imagine it's there. So right underneath your belly button is your body's center of gravity, and in Chinese tradition, that's called the dantian, the lower dantian. In Japan, it's called the hara. So when you talk about harakiri, that means you put the knife in there and in your center of your being. So this is the center of your being in Chinese medicine, your energetic center. Okay, so what I want you to do now is close your eyes and breathe in so that part of you fills up with air. Fill it up with air. Allow it to pooch out a little bit. Maybe even put your fingers, so about 2 inches below your belly button, right there. That's your lower dantian. Let's just call it your center of gravity. So fill it there, your energy center. Okay, now what I want you to do is, as you exhale, what you want to do is you want to contract the muscles of your groin. So it's actually not quite your groin. It's your pubococcygeus muscle. This is the muscle that's the hammock that's underneath the whole apparatus here, the perineum. So it's the muscle you use to stop the flow of urine. Okay, so if you contract that muscle, it feels a certain way, and that's the feeling that I want you to get right now. So as you fill this energy center with air, then I want you to exhale and contract that, okay? Great, so when you do that, and then release, and once again, breathe into that part of your body, okay? So breathe in, and then as you breathe out, contract, exhale, and I want you to imagine you're bringing energy up from your groin, which is very energetic, up into this part of your body, right below your belly button, okay? So breathe in and pooch out this part of your body underneath the belly button. Exhale, contract that thing in the bottom, and imagine you're bringing the energy up right here, just a little couple of inches from your groin up to here. And if you do this together, breathe in, bring up the energy there. Let go, breathe in. Okay. Now what I want you to do is, this time, inhale. Now exhale, bring the energy up to here, and then bring it up to your heart. As you bring it up to your heart, imagine your heart is opening up, and maybe this energy has a color. Whatever that color is, visualize it. For me, it's kind of this purple-bluish energy. So, and then allow your heart to open. So now you're going to breathe in to your belly. As you breathe out, you contract your PC muscle, your pubococcygeus muscle, the taint. Bring up the energy first to the, right below your belly button, and then bring it up to your heart. So take an extra sip and bring it up to your heart. So let me clarify the instructions. Do it all together. Inhale into your belly. And exhale as you contract your pubococcygeus muscle. Bring the energy up to here, your belly button, and then up to your heart. And the third step is, we're gonna bring it all together. I want you to breathe in to this part again. Breathe in your belly button. Exhale, contract. Bring it up to your heart. And take another extra sip and bring it up to your head, all the way up. So now we're connecting all three energy centers. So take a deep breath in to your belly button, contract. Bring the energy up to your belly button while you're still holding your breath. Bring it up to your heart, and then bring it all the way up to your head and let it go. If you do this, you're gonna generate a lot of heat in your body. Right now, I am sweating. My whole body feels like it's 3 or 4 degrees warmer than it was before, and you're gonna feel very different. So we're gonna do this for five complete cycles of bringing the energy up from your groin, from your crotch, to your dantian, to your heart, all the way up to your head and out, to your crown and out, okay? Let's do this together. Here we go. Breathe in, belly button, and hold for a couple of seconds. Now exhale and contract. Contract pubococcygeus muscle. Bring the energy up to the dantian. Bring it up to the heart. And then bring it up all the way to the top of your head. And let it go out in the universe. If you want to bring your hand up as you do that final thing, that enhances it. That was one. Let's do two. Breathe in deeply. Pooch out your belly button. And then exhale, bring it up, step one, step two, all the way up. Breathe in, and exhale completely. Bring it up, and all the way out. One more time, breathe in. Exhale a little bit more, bring it up to the heart, and then all the way up to the top of your head, and let it go. Okay, one more time. And then contract, bring it up, second step, and send all the way out to the universe. Okay, good. Who feels significantly different now than you did before? Raise your hand. All right, good. It is impossible not to feel significantly different than you did from 3 minutes ago, because you did a whole bunch of stuff and you just moved energy. And if you actually bring a squat into that, which would make me completely vanish from the screen, if you do that with a squat, it potentiates that energy even more so. And it's super powerful. Okay, so who would like to share how they're feeling right now? We got a bunch of people here. So, we got a lot of people here. So go ahead. Feel free to unmute. Can you unmute yourself? Raise your hand. How's that work? Raise your hand. There you go. Raise your hand, chat match participants. Ah, man. Zoom, what are you doing to me? Let's see. Unmute all. Who wants to say something? How does that feel? Actually, I can hear you all. You feeling good?
Feels good. Yeah. Okay.
And while you're doing that, did you have any worries about stuff happening outside? Did you worry about masks, toilet paper, COVID-19, or were you in a completely different zone when you were doing that?
Different zone.
Pretty different zone. Okay, fantastic. So the point is, you have the latitude to change your mind. You have the latitude to focus your consciousness in a way that it's independent from outside events. And you have this latitude all the time. And this is one of the greatest gifts of adulthood, that you can actually change, you can move your mind independent of circumstance. And what we just did was a little energy exercise that jazzes up your body. And now you can take this energy and move it around through the rest of your body and do other things with it, including elevating your consciousness, including adding energy to you and your daily activities. Okay, good. So that was a technique for increasing the good, increasing the happy, increasing the energy. Now I want to give you a technique for reducing the misery. And this is the tame it to name it technique. And it is simplicity itself. It's unbelievably simple, and yet it's been proven clinically to work for pretty much everybody. So if you'd be willing to share, tell me some of the negative emotions and experiences you've been feeling for the past couple of weeks. So in the chat box, share if you will, what's been happening with you? What are some feelings that are really just challenging and uncomfortable for you for the past couple of weeks? I'll tell you, so maybe loneliness is one of them. I've certainly felt a little bit of that, not being able to go outside and interact with friends. So maybe you've been feeling overwhelmed. Okay. So please feel free to share and tell me what's been going on with you. What are some negative emotions? And the more of these you give me, the more I have to work with, because if you give me a concrete emotion, then I'm like, okay, we're going to address that and we're going to work with that. And usually other people have experienced that too. So go ahead. Okay, frustration, loneliness, anxiety, absolutely. And Cheryl has a question. What's your question, Cheryl?
I don't have a question.
Oh, okay.
Just trying to figure this out.
Okay, great. No worries. Okay, great. Fantastic. So I'm getting a really good little parade of bad emotions here. We've got depressed, body is tight and tired, anxiety over the possibility of death. I'm a single mom. I mean, this is pretty powerful stuff. Frustration, loneliness, anxiety, fear of death. I mean, that's pretty legitimate fear these days. Okay. So exhaustion, fantastic. Okay, good. So what I want you to do is, if you can, once again, stand up. And I want you to close your eyes, okay? And I want you to say out loud the name of the emotion you are feeling. Say, I am feeling blank. Okay, I am feeling loneliness. So all together now, one, two, I'm gonna unmute everybody and we're gonna say it all together. So. Here we go. One, two, three. Say it. I am feeling loneliness.
I am feeling loneliness.
Frustration. Okay, good. Now what we're going to do is we're going to do something really weird, really funny. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to point to that emotion where it is in space. So what? Motion, space? Well, go ahead. Point. And you're going to point somewhere. Okay, so even though it's an unusual instruction, you will find a place to point to that emotion. It's like, oh, okay, there it is. Okay, and now what you've done is you have integrated your brain. So one of my favorite scientists, psychologists in the world, actually he's trained as an MD, so he's a psychiatrist, is Daniel Siegel. And he's got a series of amazing books, most recently, Aware, is the name of his book, A-W-A-R-E. And he says, like, this whole naming thing just makes a big difference in how you process that emotion. And he says that there's two ends of the mental health spectrum. There is chaos and there is rigidity, right? If too much stuff is going on, you've got chaos. And mental issues around chaos are something like, say, manic depression or something, you know, if you have mania. And over here, you have rigidity. So depression is a form of rigidity. And in the middle, that which is actual health is integration. Integration is about bringing the different parts of your brain, and you do have a whole bunch of different parts, and getting them to work together and integrating them. So what you're doing when you say out loud the name of the emotion, when you name it, it's like, frustration, and you just point at some random place in space, right? What you're doing is you're integrating your vocal system, which is, you know, on your temporal brain, your motor system, and also the limbic system, which feels emotion. So all these things are now working together, and it just becomes more manageable. It doesn't mean that the problem goes away immediately. It doesn't mean that you're never going to have that negative, that uncomfortable emotion again, but it becomes easier to manage. So I encourage you to use this technique and just say out loud, I am feeling blank, right? I am feeling not so great. And then notice how that can diminish when you just say it, when you just name it. Okay. So right now I want you to give yourselves a new rating for the misery scale. So you start out with some number on the scale of 1 to 10, 10 being utterly miserable, 1 being woohoo, awesome, no problems whatsoever. And I want you to notice if that number has shifted. Just because you named the emotion and you pointed to it in space and thereby managed to integrate your brain around it, so now you can manage it a little bit more. This is all about being able to manage your own mind. Okay, good. So moving right along. If you have questions, the chat box is a very good place to put questions in. I will see those and I will attend to them. All right, inaction, lazy. So if you're feeling the inaction, you say, I am feeling lazy. And then another thing that you can do is you can say it many, many times. So people think, ooh, lazy. Somebody says to you, oh, you're so lazy. Boom, it hits you a certain way, right? But try this. Say, I feel lazy. 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 By the 10th or 20th time, that word will stop to mean anything. It just becomes a bunch of sounds. And it kind of dissolves the hold that that word had over your mind, and you're going to be a little bit freer. So, great. That's two techniques then. Name it to tame it, and repeat it to disarm it. Okay, great. Questions now so far with what we've done. Okay. Let's see. We have April saying she's feeling overwhelmed and the kids are asking for help, but they're distance learning at the same time and they were fighting and whining. Yeah, right now it must be a particularly challenging time to be cooped up in a house with kids who used to have daycare in the form of school for 8 hours a day, and now they don't. So that must be super duper challenging. How do you maintain sanity when that's happening? Well, you know, a big part of this the seminar is about how there is not a plug from the outside world directly going to the back of your head and telling you you need to feel this way. You are allowed to change and choose the way that you want to feel far more than you think you do. I mean, if kids are going crazy, I see how it's very natural for a mother to react in a certain way. At the same time, the more you use these techniques, the more control you're going to have and the happier you're going to be. Okay, fantastic. Let's move right along to the next, because I got a bunch of these and each one of them is going to take a minute, including the big kahuna of all meditations, and a meditation that's going to, I hope, rock your world and really change the way you move in the world and the way you see yourself in relationship to hardship and challenge. So the next technique is what I call metacognition. I don't just call it that. A lot of people call it that. But the whole idea is that people think that they have thoughts and they have feelings and that's it. It's like, this guy cut me off. What a jerk. I feel disrespected and angry. Okay. And then you sit with that feeling of being disrespected and angry and you think that's the way the world should be. And is it though? Because have you ever thought back at a time when you were in the car and somebody cut you off and you felt angry and you thought, Well, that was kind of silly. I mean, I don't know this guy. I didn't even see his face. Maybe the guy was in a hurry to go somewhere. Why'd I even get mad? That's just ridiculous, right? So it's possible to add mirth to that feeling of anger. So you can take some time, you can take some distance and look at that feeling that you had before and feel differently about it. This is metacognition. You have permission to feel and think differently about your feelings. You can have feelings and thoughts about thoughts. So when next time you're in a car and somebody cuts you off and you get angry, you can go, oh, wow, isn't that interesting? I just got angry. Huh. And the thing is, your brain is not very good at feeling more than one emotion at the same time. You basically have one thing and that's it, right? So if you got angry and now you're curious about the anger, or you're interested in the anger, guess what you're feeling? Now you're feeling curiosity and interest. You're not feeling anger anymore. Try it. Go ahead. I want you to take whatever emotion, dominant negative emotion that you're feeling these days, right? Close your eyes. Bring it right back. Feel the dominant negative emotion. Okay. And then see if you can get curious about it. It's like, oh, wow, isn't that interesting? I mean, where'd that come from? Why is it like that, right? And maybe you can even have a thought about that thought and go, huh, wow, that's kind of funny. I had a thought about a thought. Who knew? That's crazy. And now you're suddenly, now you're feeling the humor. Now you're feeling the mirth. So you just went from anger to mirth in about 15 seconds. And you can do this anytime you want. You can get curious about your emotions. And from the curiosity, that's a springboard to any other emotion. You can go straight from the negative emotion to the humor if you want to, or the ridiculousness. Like, oh my God, I got angry at a guy that I've never seen before in my life and will never see. That's hilarious. Oh my God, so silly. Okay. So this is metacognition, and this is a muscle that you must strengthen. This is something you want to practice. Okay, so why don't I take a volunteer? So who would like to be my metacognition practice partner? Who's having a particularly difficult, challenging emotion right now that you're feeling? Put yourself, type in the chat box, and we'll work with you. Not everybody at the same time. All right, here, what do we got here? Okay. Okay. Other people at home got it. Okay. But you can say, you can maybe say what the emotion is. We already did lazy. I know I'm just going to scroll through here. We got a bunch of target emotions here. So uncertainty, depressed, exhausted. I like frustrated. Frustrated's a pretty common one because you want to do all these things and you can't. That's the essence of frustration. The desire that has been thwarted. That's frustration. So frustration. All right. First, you say it. You say it out loud. I am frustrated. And you point to it in space. And for some reason, frustrated for me is over here, left and down. Okay. It's like, oh, okay. Frustration. I see your frustration. It's like, huh. I wonder why I feel frustrated. That's so interesting. I mean, there are certain things I cannot do. But at the same time, there's like an infinitude of things that I can do. Huh, frustrated, so interesting. And is frustrated ever funny? I mean, have you ever seen a video of somebody who's been frustrated, like a cat who keeps on running into a glass window and gets frustrated? That's pretty funny. Okay, good. So we can hop from frustration to curiosity to mirth and humor. Okay, good. Lethargy, love it. Okay, Priyanka wants to participate. Okay, great. So let's get this going here. All right, so Priyanka, why don't you share what your target emotion is?
Hi, I said uncertainty because I think it's quite an uncertain time for a lot of people.
Yes, absolutely, uncertainty. Great, so uncertainty. So let's think about uncertainty. Okay, wow, I feel uncertain. I feel uncertainty. Okay, you can point to that in space somewhere. We can be anywhere, really. Okay, maybe it's behind you. Yeah, actually, uncertainty is behind me for some reason. Probably because stuff behind you, you can't see. So it's uncertain. And then you're like, okay, uncertainty. Can you get curious about the uncertainty, Priyanka?
A little bit. Yeah, I am curious about it.
What kind of uncertainty is this? What flavor uncertainty is this? I mean, is this chocolate uncertainty? Is this caramel uncertainty? Is this cinnamon uncertainty? What kind of uncertainty are we talking here?
When we're going to be allowed outside next, what's going to happen with my job at the moment?
Okay,
just all the things.
Okay, so, but can you kind of trace the origin of the uncertainty, like where it started and where it was? And can you find maybe that being interesting or maybe even funny in some way? What's funny, is there, what's funny about the uncertainty?
I guess like it's kind of ironic that for me, stability and kind of security is one of my highest values, and I'm being kind of forced to like reassess that a little bit or kind of challenge myself.
Okay, can you feel the irony? Can you feel
absolutely
feelings? Like, okay, and when you feel the irony, do you still feel the uncertainty or just feel the irony?
The irony more than the uncertainty.
See, there you go.
Like, okay. I even have a little half smile, half laugh.
There you go. And then from there you can go somewhere. Something that's ironic is often funny. And you can concatenate these emotions as far as you want, and the brain will respond, because this is what the brain's doing every day anyway. You're experiencing thousands of emotions all day long, and they concatenate, and none of them last. So what you're doing with this is you are simply taking control of the emotion that you want to feel, as opposed to the one that somehow the world imposed on you, and you're giving yourself more choice. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for participating. Okay, great. Fantastic. So now that we got you on feeling emotions, I'm going to give you another very physical technique. And this one is super effective, and it can work on stuff as heavy as grief. It can work on, you know, real loss. It can work on just massive frustration, depression. It's powerful. So here, for this one, you're going to need a little bit of room, enough room to like swing your arm like that. Okay. And what I want you to do right now is once again to focus on that targeted challenging emotion. Whatever that target challenging emotion was, I want you to bring that up and really allow yourself to feel it. It's okay. Afterwards, you're gonna be in a much better space. But for right now, I actually want you to allow yourself to be immersed in that feeling, okay? Bring it up as much as you can. And what I invite you to do is to imagine that as you breathe in, you're concentrating this ball of energy inside your belly. So first of all, feel where it is in your body, okay? And as you breathe in, you're like a vacuum cleaner. You're bringing all that emotion into the center of your body from wherever it is. So let's say frustration. So I feel frustration partially in my arms, maybe in my legs a little bit, and a little bit around here. And you bring that up as you breathe in. It's like a vacuum cleaner that brings all that emotion right here into the center of your belly here, or maybe even up to your chest, wherever feels right for you. But what we're going to do is we're going to concentrate this emotion. And ask yourself also, what color does this emotion have? This may be a highly unusual question that you've asked yourself, but I've not met a single person who doesn't have an answer. Everybody has an answer for what color the emotion is. So when you have the color of the emotion, yell out loud, what's the color of the emotion? You've all been unmuted.
Green.
Exactly. Okay, good. So watch here, right here. You take 5 deep breaths. And as you breathe in,
100 degrees Celsius.
You concentrate it here. And as you breathe out, you compact it. Make it like a tighter ball. Okay, so you breathe and you collect. You make it compact. Breathe in and collect, and you can even do this gesture. Breathe it in, compact into a little ball, tight little ball. Collect, and 2 more. Last one, really, really slow. Just imagine all that color, little bits left in your body, wherever it is. Just sweep it and bring it in and compact it right here. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to imagine that you can pull that energy out, that ball that you've concentrated, about a foot outside your body. So imagine it moving out of your body, and then step outside, so it's about 2 feet in front of you, right? And look at it. Look at it as if it's there. It's humming with that color of that incredibly uncomfortable emotion. And I don't know how many of you play tennis, but imagine you have a big old tennis racket here. I want you to go like this and wind up for the biggest backhand of your life as you go, and you smack it all the way out to the horizon to infinity. So it becomes a tiny, tiny little dot, and then poof, vanishes. Okay? So when you're ready, go ahead and do that. Pull it back and go. And after you do that, I ask you, where is that emotion? Where did it go? And for many of you, it's like, hallelujah, see you later. Boom, it is gone, right? It's a powerful thing. You just did some funky breathing and visualization, and suddenly, whatever that emotion was, for most of you, was diminished significantly. The first time I did this, I thought it was voodoo magic, because I'm like, there's no reason why that should work. But for some strange reason, that does work. So let's do that one more time. So pick another emotion or the same one if you're still feeling some of it, okay? So once again, breathe in. Maybe pick a emotion here. Frustration, yeah, that's it. Frustration. So frustration, there it is, once more. Collect, compact. Collect, compact. Collect, remember the color, compact. Collect, compact. Step back, wind up, bam! Smack it out to oblivion. If you make it makes you feel better, do it twice. Bam! Smack it out all the way out to infinity. Whew! Breathe out. And notice how your body feels. Maybe your shoulders are more relaxed. Maybe your whole body just lost a whole lot of tension. You had a weight on your back that you no longer have. But whatever that emotion was, this is the kind of thing that will diminish it. Okay, so how you feeling, people? Unmute. Yes. Who had a really dramatic effect with that? Who had something that was like, wow, okay, that's amazing. Yes, yes, yes. Somebody, all at once. All right. Good times. Hey. Fantastic. Okay, good. So moving right along, I got a couple more things to convey to you, including the mother of all meditations. So we did metacognition. We did this. And this is kind of a cousin to metacognition. This is what I call the 100,000 foot view. And so in the last happiness engineering seminar that I did, I talked about good mental hygiene. So in the same way that you don't want to bring in junk food into your body because it makes you sick, you don't want to bring junk information. You don't want to deliberately bring in stuff that makes you feel crappy. So what does that, for example, news? Yes, news. When you check the news, like, X people died and you might too. Well, you know, there's not a whole lot you can do about that. Except for stay at home and not catch the disease. So if you hear that certain politician is doing another dumb fuck thing and you keep on checking that news and you keep on seeing his ugly face, well, guess what? That's not going to make you necessarily feel any better. So that's the mental hygiene part. That's the stuff about what you don't want to do. But here's something you can do about it, right? And no matter who is in power, no matter who is driving you absolutely up the wall, It is possible to take the 100,000 foot view. And what do I mean by this? I mean that when you're in a plane and you're at about an altitude of 30,000 feet, you look down and everything looks really small. You have like the entire city of Los Angeles, it's like a dot, right? And you know, maybe some things in the you see some lights, you can't really see cars, you can't even see people. It's like fields, forests, things, but you know, everything that was a major concern that was really bugging you seems a lot smaller. So I want you to first go to the 30,000 foot view and notice that everything that is happening right now is what humans do. It's like, oh, wow, look, that's humans humaning again. They're bickering at each other. They're not listening to good advice. They are not cooperating with each other. Or you can also see the other stuff. It's like, wow, they are cooperating with each other. Oh, wow, you got all these doctors and nurses who are sacrificing their own lives for the welfare of society and people. But thing is, I want you to take that, notice how when you're at that 30,000 foot view, things are very, very different. And things just seem a lot less bothersome. They're there still, but they don't bug you. You can just see them for what they are, which is the larger pattern of human activity, which has pretty much been the same since the beginning of time and will continue to be so. And then you can also take the 100,000 foot view, which now allows you to maybe even see the curvature of the earth and maybe a bigger chunk of the planet. And you're like, oh, wow, look, this beautiful earth is still doing its thing and always will, whether or not I'm in it, whether or not my friends are in it, whether my family's in it. So all the stuff can happen and this earth will keep on going. And you're from that view, you're kind of cool with it, right? We're not saying that you're going to be happy about dying young necessarily, but for some reason, when you take that view, everything seems a lot more manageable. And that's what we're talking about. So we're all going to die. That is probably the truest thing I'm going to say today. Incontrovertible fact. So the sooner you're able to reconcile yourself with that, the sooner you're able to reconcile yourself with everything else that leads up to that, including all the little deaths of jobs, of relationships, of family members, of friendships, all the micro deaths. If you can deal with the big, big death, then all the other ones are a lot more manageable. And the 100,000 foot view I found is a very useful tool just to make everything seem less threatening. Because look, it's just as threatening as it is whether you think about it hard and worry about it or not. So when you take that view, you add a little buffer zone, you can still take things seriously, but you don't ground yourself down. Good. So that's the 100,000 foot view technique. And once again, it's a simple visualization. You close your eyes and go, whoop, go to 30,000. You still see things, the pattern, you move, and then whoop, go way higher. You can see the whole thing. And if you want to get really crazy with it, you can go to the overview position. And the overview position is the position that the astronauts have. Every astronaut who's ever gone into space and has seen the Earth in its entirety, this blue vulnerable ball, this tiny little dust ball in the middle of the cosmos, develops this massive, massive empathy for all sentient beings. Like, oh, wow, look at this fragile little thing. I need to treasure that a hell of a lot more and take things a lot less granted from now on. So this is a mental exercise we can all do. You can even help yourself by using Google Earth, which will do that for you. You can see the whole thing moving around and exploring. Okay, so once again, this does not make the problems go away, just allows you the perspective to handle it a lot better and not be caught up in the feeling. Fantastic. Any questions before I move on? Okay. All right. So let me give you a quick technique for getting rid of thoughts. So people say that I have all these thoughts that bother me. So I'm going to actually give you two techniques. So one's a very physical technique, and it goes something like this. So, all right, I invite you to put your two forefingers like this in front of you. And as you do that, what I invite you to do is to look through them. So my eyes are still pointing directly ahead. I'm not looking at the fingers. I'm looking at the space in between them. But at the same time, what I'm doing is I'm maintaining my attention on it. So I know they're there, but my eyes are still ahead, okay? So you're gonna keep doing this, and then you're gonna move the fingers up and out. So stop every once in a while to make sure you still have your attention on the fingers while you're looking straight ahead. Attention on the fingers while you're looking straight ahead. Attention on the fingers while you're looking straight ahead. And as you look straight ahead, while you keep your attention on your fingers, I ask you, what are you thinking about? And if you're doing it right, the answer should be absolutely nothing whatsoever, because you can't have any thoughts. If you are in fact looking straight ahead and your attention is on the two corners of the upper corners of the room you're in, or your two forefingers where they are right now, it is pretty much impossible to have any thoughts. And you can even bring the fingers down and maintain that state of, ooh, my brain is empty and it feels good, okay? So, that who would that work for? Who did that? Did you try that? Okay, good, fantastic. So this is an instant technique. How long did that take? That's like 10 seconds, right? But once you know it, you cannot unknow it. It's like you did this, right? And just by holding up my fingers like this and placing my attention on it, my peripheral vision is on that, I'm directly looking ahead, right? Guess what? Coronavirus is out there, but it's not bothering me. Trump is out there, and he can't bother me. All the crap in the world is there, still there. And you know what? Before coronavirus, there was still a lot of crap happening. There's people killing each other in South Sudan. There are thousands, if not millions, of refugees in the Middle East. Countrymen killing each other, people being nasty to each other, and also all the great things too. People being nice to each other, saving each other. But guess what? Inside here, you get clarity. You get peace. And peace doesn't take a long time. So you can do this as often as you want. You don't need to put up your hands, but it is good for your deltoids. And the more often you do this, the more your brain learns where that spot is in your mind. It's like, boom, sudden, complete, quiet. Okay? And that's a powerful thing. If you cultivate that, you're in a position to control how your mind wants to go as opposed to being controlled by it. All right, that's a quick one. And I'm gonna, let's see, I'll give you another one. This one's fun, this one's mostly mental. And take a deep breath and close your eyes. And instead of the usual meditative practice, which I give people, which is a series of techniques to dispel thoughts and allow them to go away, this time I want you to do the exact opposite. I want you to be like a hunter in wait for thoughts. You're a hunter, and you're waiting for thoughts to come. You're like, and as soon as the first one comes, you go, ah, got you thought. Okay, so close your eyes and really become vigilant about, okay, I'm going to catch the next thought that comes in. And notice, as you become super vigilant to catch the next thought that comes in, guess what you just did? You stopped all thoughts. If you actually sit there and do the thought hunting, you will once again erase your mind. So these are all techniques for making yourself super duper calm, like going to the deep silence of the now anytime you want. And it takes seconds. It's a matter of practicing it over and over such that your brain gets used to it. You build up that muscle so you can do it on command, okay? And even if you have kids, even if you got fired, you still have the latitude to go inside and find the peace with it. Okay. And funny note from Debbie, good stuff. My neighbors are like, what the hell is this woman doing? Hey, if they knew what was going on inside your head, they'd be even more weirded out. So, all right. So now let's go to the big kahuna, the meditation to end all meditations. And this is not something that I came up with myself. This is by Dan Siegel, the gentleman that I told you about, brilliant neuropsychiatrist out of UCLA. His book is called Aware. I highly recommend it. He's also got another one, which is fantastic. It's called MindSight, but Aware kind of includes MindSight and updates it. So just go get Aware. Aware is good. And getting Aware is always a good idea. So this is called the Wheel of Awareness, and it's going to be about 10 minutes. So 10 to 15 minutes. It's got a whole bunch of different parts to it. And this is going to put you in a very altered state, and I'm hoping a very pleasantly altered state. So make sure your phone is off. Make sure there are no distractions. We're going to have your eyes closed for the next few minutes, and you can sit while you do this. Probably better sitting than standing, and that way you can really focus on the various phases of it. Okay, so the Wheel of Awareness has to do with a visualization of a hub that's around you, so there's a wheel around you and there's a hub. You are the hub of the wheel, and the wheel is all the way around you, okay? And we're gonna focus on various aspects of the wheel, which correspond to various aspects of your consciousness in sequence. So let's start. Take a deep breath and close your eyes. I want you to start by paying attention to the first quadrant of the Wheel of Awareness. This is the quadrant having to do with your five senses. So with your eyes closed, I invite you to pay attention for the next 30 seconds to everything that is coming through your eyes. There's still light coming in. Maybe you can feel the movement of your eyes, but whatever it is, just give your attention to that. You can even open your eyes if you want to, but it's easier perhaps with your eyes closed. 30 seconds, pay attention to what is going on in your visual system. You're going to put your awareness on the visual. 10 more seconds of that. And gently, I invite you to shift your awareness from attention to the visual input to attending to sound, the auditory. Notice all the sounds that are happening in your environment. Notice everything that's going on in the realm of sound and put your awareness on that. Allow your awareness to become that. As we gradually move on to the sense of touch. And pay attention to all the touch that you can feel around your body. The sensation of clothes on your skin. Maybe the sensation of skin on skin. Hair on various parts of your body. Tightness or looseness of clothing. Pressure of your body on where you're sitting and on the ground. And then gradually we shift your attention to all sensations having to do with smell. Breathe deeply and notice the presence or absence of smells in your environment. Maybe you can smell yourself. Maybe you can smell the cooking from a few hours ago. Whatever it is, allow that to become your full awareness. Totally zoom in on smell. Notice everything. And as you do that, we move along to the sense of taste. Notice what tastes you have inside your mouth right now. Maybe you just brushed your teeth, or maybe you just had a meal. Maybe there's a residue of something you drank some time ago. Or maybe there's nothing terribly obvious, but now you're just paying attention to the sensations inside your mouth and what's going on in there. And allow that to fill your awareness. Allow your awareness to become your sense of taste. And from there, we can move to the second quadrant of the wheel of awareness. And this is the interior body scan. This is allowing you to become fully aware of the sensations inside your body, inside your muscles, inside your alimentary tract, inside your bones, starting from the top of your head. Feel your head. Maybe there's some tingliness from the exercises we did. Feel the inside, feel your scalp, feel your nose, feel the quality of muscle tension around your neck, the interior of your cranium, moving down your neck, down to your shoulders. Take stock of the feeling of the top of your lungs, the inside of your lungs, the inside of your pectoral muscles in your breasts, your deltoids, your biceps, triceps, all the way down to your fingertips. Pay attention and notice what's going on. Feel what you hadn't felt before. Then move down your torso, down to your abdomen, your intestines. Maybe if you pay close attention, you can feel things moving around there and become aware of the gurgling noises. There's always gurgling noises. Moving on down to the area of your groin and your genitals, all the organs inside your pelvis. Notice how your genitals are feeling right now. The muscles of your butt, what's it like inside there, down to your thighs, all the way down to your calves, to your feet, the muscles and bones of your feet. Feel it all. Make your awareness this interior sensation of your body that was always there that you are now choosing to pay attention to. As we gradually move to the third phase, the third quadrant of the wheel of awareness, this is your mental activity. And in the same way that you put your awareness on your interior feelings, and put your awareness on your five senses, now you will put your awareness on the thoughts you're having, the feelings you're having. Notice how they're trafficking. Notice how they're moving around. Notice how they're like shows on a TV screen, and your awareness is that TV screen. You are not the shows. You are the TV screen. You can just watch what's happening on the screen. Become aware of those thoughts, and maybe you had certain feelings. Maybe they were nice feelings. Maybe they're uncomfortable feelings. Whatever they were, allow yourself to become aware of those and to pay attention to them. As we now move to the fourth quadrant, the fourth segment of the Wheel of Awareness. And this is the feeling of relatedness to all the people who are close to you. First, your family and primary love relationships. Notice that there's a certain feeling associated with these people that's different from all the other feelings we've explored. Some kind of bond. Maybe there's an energetic bond that you can feel. Maybe you can feel a beam of light moving between you and these people that you're close to. You can feel that relatedness in your body as you visualize these people surrounding you, your primary love relationships, and your close family. And then continue to put your awareness on this feeling of relatedness and expand it to include your friends. Add another layer of people around you, all the friends that you have, all the friends that you are connected to. Bring that feeling of connectedness and relatedness again. Imagine that beam of light connecting you all together with you at the hub. As you expand that feeling of connectedness to include the city you're in, or wherever you're living in, the region you're in, all those people too. Notice how you can feel that connectedness, that relatedness, especially in these times. Then expand that to include your whole state and even country. Imagine all those millions of people and the relatedness you have with them. It is now an incontrovertible fact that we are all connected, because somebody's respiratory disease all the way on the other side of the planet is now ours too. So feel that connection and expand that feeling of connectedness to all these people so you can actually feel it. Imagine those beams of light coming to you. And then expand it so it covers the entire globe. Everybody. All the people. Feel that essential kinship you have with the rest of humanity. And feel that relatedness, that connectedness, as you expand that circle of connectedness. And then expand that even further to include all sentient beings, all the animals, all the creatures, everything that's on Earth that's alive. Or maybe even more alive than you think they are. Well, I start to feel that connectedness. And notice how that feels as you do that. And then finally, take that sense of awareness and that spoke that's going to each one of the segments. It's going to the sensory system, visual, auditory, kinesthetic, olfactory, gustatory. It's going to the interior feeling. You see another spoke going to connectedness, and another one going to mental activity. And now I want you to take a spoke and take that arrow of that spoke and turn it back to yourself, back to awareness, and point your awareness to awareness itself. Allow yourself to become aware of awareness and notice what that feels like. Take a deep breath there and notice as you bring your awareness to awareness itself, there's a certain quality of clarity, of expansiveness there, of seeing that screen that's vast enough to hold the entire world, like you just did a few minutes ago. All 7.4 billion people, all sentient beings, and the entire universe, even if you wanted to. And allow yourself to become aware of that awareness and really feel that. And notice how that brings a certain quality of peace. And maybe that's that little flavor of enlightenment that I hinted at in the email. As you turn that light of awareness upon awareness of itself, that allows you to feel the freedom and feel the expansiveness of being, of consciousness. And if you want to lock in these feelings and bring them back later, go ahead and touch your right thumb and middle finger together and hold it for a count of 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, then let go. And you can bring back all these great self-expanding feelings, this whole exercise, the end result. You can bring that feeling back in an instant and you can feel it again. Go ahead and press your thumb and forefinger together, boom, and there it is. You can bring that feeling back anytime you want. Just press the thumb and forefinger together, third finger together, and count 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, and boom. You can bring that feeling back, especially if you accompany it with a deep breath. And gradually, as I count back from number 5, you can come back to the present time and place. 4, feeling expansive, empowered. 3, identifying with your consciousness, with the screen upon which all reality is projected, and not with what you call reality itself. 2, opening your 2 eyes, and 1, becoming present to the room, right back here. Okay. How you doing? Let's unmute everybody here so you can contribute. When I unmute, you can contribute. How you feeling?
Much better, more peaceful.
Okay, good. All right, so these techniques work. They're super effective. And some of them may work better for you than others. I encourage you to use what works. And if something didn't work, well, you can try it again, and it will probably work for you because these have worked for a lot of people. This is the kind of stuff I'll be teaching in my happiness engineering program. It's going to be happening in April, but maybe I'll start it a little bit later. And the idea is to learn techniques to be able to run your mind and your body the way that it enables you to give your gift to the world. And you're much more able to give your gift to the world if you're empowered and happy and functional and able to handle all kinds of emotions that the world throws at you, whether positive or negative. So I'm going to put this little link here, Happiness Engineering. Apply. So if you feel like that's something that's calling you, then that's the app, that's the application link. So you go in there, you answer a couple of questions, and the idea is I want to teach you how to incorporate these techniques into your life. So I just gave you a whole bunch of stuff, any one of which can potentially change your life dramatically, right? And having gone to dozens of seminars and learned hundreds of different things from a lot of amazing different teachers, and knowing how many of them I've actually incorporated into my daily life, I'm going to say that you are probably going to incorporate between 0 and 1 of these into your life permanently, okay? Because that's just the way things are. You do the thing, it feels good, and even though it was really good and really positive, you just kind of forget. You have other routines, you have this path-dependent life. You've done certain things a certain way, and the habits are really powerful, so they take over, and even though you learn something super transformative, chances of actually incorporating into your life are vanishingly small. So the purpose of the Happiness Engineering course is to take these practices and integrate them into your life such that you do them all the time and thereby transform your life. Not just that, but also to transmit it to other people so the people around you can benefit as well. Because I've always said that happiness is the most altruistic cause you can devote yourself to. Because when you are the most happy, most functional, most thriving version of you, that radiates out through your network. That affects all the people around you, and don't ask, you don't have to believe me. This is the work of Nick Christakis and James Fowler. They found definitively that whenever you change, the people around you change. You get fat, 33% chance that your friends get fat, 15% chance that friends of friends who don't even know you, they get fat. You quit smoking, 70% chance that your friends quit smoking, another 30% chance that friends of friends who don't know you quit smoking. You get happy, you get rid of your depression, you have more energy, guess what? Boom, that enthusiasm, that joy, that life force radiates out through the network. So if you feel like you want to be the first cohort of people doing happiness engineering, please go to that link right there, happinessengineering.com/apply, and fill out the application. And if you feel that you also want some one-on-one work, I'm available for that. You know how to find me. Send me an email, and I'll send you a calendar link, and we can make that happen. I'm making about 2 to 3 slots available per week. So if you guys want to do that, please let me know. In the meantime, if you have questions, this is the time to... Oh, I see what happened here. Oh, the link did not show up. Thank you for letting me know that. Everyone. Link must go to everyone. Here we go. Link is happinessengineering.com/apply. And... a lot of people say that, oh yeah, it's a life-changing seminar, this life-changing, this book is going to change your life. Well, my job is to change people's lives. I've been doing it for 20 years, and the whole purpose of the Happiness Engineering course is to change the things you do in your life. So yes, it is life-changing by definition, and it takes a certain kind of person to get through it, which is why I have the application process. It's about deep engagement, and this is not something that's like, oh yeah, I took this course on Photoshop and I forgot about it for 6 months. No, this is all about creating a community of people who help each other grow and excel and thrive and to become agents for spreading that through the world. And the beauty of this stuff is the more you use it, the better you're going to feel. All right. Great. Okay, we have some improvements, some big, some small, and I'm also getting a sense of how people are feeling around here. My God, look, these are tough times. So that's why I do these. I'm going to do this again tomorrow. Tomorrow's mix is going to be a little bit different. So I'm going to use some hypnotic techniques. I'll still use some of these. I'm not sure if I'll do the wheel of awareness again, but I may, depending on, how'd you guys feel about the wheel of awareness? Give me a rating. It's like, woohoo, awesome. Or like, sort of. I mean, tell me what works and what you like best. Because that way I can give more of that to people. Love the wheel of awareness. Yeah, so that's, he has a really good, Dan has a very nice video, which does exactly what I did in his own words, the originator of the thing. And I'll put that here so you have it. Ba-bam! Wheel of Awareness video on YouTube. Or just look up the Wheel of Awareness and Dan Siegel. There's a bunch of videos there. They go from like 20 minutes to 45 minutes. So pick one, run with it, play with it, and notice. And the Wheel of Awareness is actually a combo. It's I call it the big kahuna of meditation practices, because it combines loving kindness meditation, so a compassion meditation, with a body scan, with a sensory awareness, you know, like open awareness meditation. And then it also does that little trick of turning awareness on itself. So it's like four or five different kinds of meditation rolled into one in a very compact thing. You can do in about 10 minutes. So, okay. Misery down, happy up. This is fantastic. Okay. So a big part, a part of the reason why I asked you to do this rating is to actually notice the change. Because if you don't notice the change, you may think you're in the same spot you were before, but no, something has shifted. And when you create these ratings, these numbers, you're validating the shift. You're validating the fact that something has moved and you actually do feel different. You do feel better. So keep on doing that. You know, name it to tame it. Use the wheel of awareness. Point at it. Move it around. Do all these different things. You know, take the ball and smack it out to oblivion. All these different things that you do. They can work for individual motions. They can work for general motions. Just play with them. Play with them. This is your mind. This is your ultimate playground. You can mess around with this stuff, and it's fun. Is it fun? I think it's fun. Okay, good. Any more questions? This is a great question. I was so calm, then my son came in and forgot to sign on to the tutor. Okay. I'm not sure what that means, but my calm instantly went out the door. How can I avoid that? Okay, so first, a couple of things. First of all emotions are temporary, so calm can go away. It can also come back. So if it went out the door, you can say, hey, calm, come back here. You're using a metaphor to expel it from you. Why not use another metaphor to bring it back? So bring it back, ooh, calm, boom, stick it right here, and feel the calm again. And if you anchored the feeling of calm from meditation by pressing your right thumb and forefinger together, right thumb and middle finger together, you can bring that right back. You can also take three deep breaths to connect to this feeling again. And that activates your vagus nerve, which actually physiologically changes the way you feel and makes you calmer. So there's all these things. But the most important thing when it comes to this is this. You must train calm. You must train fitness, right? So you can say, oh no, suddenly a set of stairs appeared before me and I ran up them and I got winded. What's up with that? Well, there's not a lot you can do at that moment to keep yourself from getting winded. What you can do is train for a long time such that a set of stairs does not get you winded. So what you want to do is you want to develop honey consciousness. And I don't mean honey, how you doing? I mean the contrast between honey and water. If you have a jar of water, if you have a glass of water and you tap it, it starts to fluctuate and splash, and you know, water, it can shake, right? But if you take a jar of honey and you tap it, what happens? Nothing. Tap it again. Nothing. Honey stays pretty calm. So when you practice meditation, when you do these breathing exercises, when you practice the wheel of awareness, you keep on doing it, you get mental fitness, which is just like physical fitness. That means you will not get winded when you run up a staircase. You will not lose your calm when your kid walks in the door. Because guess what? The kid is going to do that another 10,000 times until he's grown up, and then he's going to keep on doing that. So the circumstances are not going to cooperate with us. It is our job to put on shoes, mental shoes, so we can walk on the thorns and rocks of life instead of demanding that life cover itself with leather so we can walk barefoot. Okay, great. Oh, it worked. Fantastic. Priyanka asks, how many are part of each group for the course? So I am enrolling a maximum of 20 people for this first edition of Happiness Engineering, just because I want to be a tight group and get some good groups of people going and supporting one another. So it's going to be a total of 20. I'm not sure if that answers your question. Debbie asks, in your experience, what works best in getting centered and staying in that centered space when a negative feeling hijacks your system or mind? Okay, good. So the thing is, we are not here to avoid negative feelings altogether. We're here to recognize them and manage them, because sometimes those challenging emotions, those negative emotions, are trying to tell us something. So our job is to notice what it's trying to tell us and use that for our growth and for our survival. Okay, so I don't know what the nature of the negative emotion was, but you can actually feel it. So what Pema Chodron likes to say is you want to lean into the sharp points of life instead of running away. So the way to actually dissipate a negative emotion, an unpleasant emotion, a challenging emotion, is to feel it completely. So some negative emotion comes in, you try to run away, it's just like a tiger. It's like, oh, running away, I'm going to chase that down, right? Whereas if you confront it, tiger's like, what the hell just happened? Okay? Tiger gets confused, tiger might run away. So what you want to do is you want to lean into the sharp points of life and allow yourself to feel that feeling completely. Because when you feel it completely, it eventually dissipates and goes away. No feeling lasts forever. Not good ones, not bad ones. So when you do that, you become comfortable with being you. Instead of these challenging emotions being scary, you're like, oh, that one. Frustration, I know you. Oh, loss, I know you. Grief, I know you. Pain, I know you. So all these things, suddenly, they're not enemies, right? And then you can breathe with it, do one of these exercises, pull it out of your body, smack it out. You can put it in a jar and put it on your mantelpiece. I'll do that for the next one. So there's all these different things you can do to manage these emotions and make friends with them, because emotions are there for your survival. Evolution designed them because they were essential for us being able to survive and thrive. So you don't want to necessarily get rid of them. That said, if you have certain recurrent destructive emotions like shame, which doesn't do anybody any good, okay, you got to work for that. You got to work on that. Maybe you need some outside help for that. But for the most part, you lean into the sharp points of life and you become familiar with them. You make friends with them and they tend to go away. If there are no more questions, I'm going to close the session. I'm going to do this again, same time, same place. Thank you, April, for your thank you. You're very welcome. And we'll do this again with a slightly different mix of techniques, but also very similar. So if you like some of these things and you'd like another run through for some of them, show up tomorrow. Or you can come in, we can do a whole bunch of new ones and it'll be good times. So thank you, everybody. I'm glad you can make it. And have a safe and wonderful and asymptomatic day. And hope to see you soon. If you have any questions, zap them to me, Dr. Ali B at tileupdating.com. Or Dr. Ali at happinessengineering.com. And if you are one of the people who wants to see if the happiness engineering course is for you, go ahead and apply happinessengineering.com/apply. Thank you so much. Have a fabulous rest of your Thursday.